will tape CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Right, P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday evening, March the 30th, 1991. Passover weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Dr. Bill Noe of Salina, Kansas, is the speaker with Glenn Miller on this service. This service is a teaching on the gifts of the Spirit and laying on of hands for the impartation of the gifts and praying for healing. I guess we're aware of what weekend this is, Passover. We were singing that course a while ago. I guess you're aware that Jesus came riding in and they cried Hosanna to him. Then they turned around and refused to know him. Lord, help us never to do that. We say Hosanna in the highest, and then we stand up and know who we're talking to, and that he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that it's Jesus who rules and reigns. Then we're aware that he died on the tree and rose again victorious over Satan and all his foes. And then there's a commandment that's given. I'll just let you know my personal. I believe that Jesus, if this were resurrection week, I believe that he rose about 9 hours ago, according to the time of where he was at. If it had been here, it would have been about an hour ago. I believe he rose at sunset on the third day, and the third day started on Wednesday at sunset and not on Friday. And that he rose today at sunset, which was the beginning of the day. And that's my understanding and of the Scriptures as I study. That's the way I see it. That's the way the Scripture tells it to us. Anyway, there is a commandment that's given. And Charlie, you may want to remember this, and any other minister that's here. It's in Exodus chapter 34. And since I'm going to read it, somebody will ask me where it was if I didn't tell you. So it's in Exodus chapter 34. And, I'll start with 21. That's my 23 is my verse, but I'll start with 21. 6 days shalt thou work, and on the seventh day thou shalt rest. In earing time and in harvest time thou shalt rest. And thou shalt observe the feast of weeks of the first fruits of wheat harvest and the feast of ingathering at the year's end. 3 times in the year shall all your men, children, appear before the Lord God, the God of Israel. For I will cast out the nations, or I will deliver you, cast it out of you, you're the nation. I will cast out the nations before thee and enlarge thy borders. So the Lord says that we are to appear before him 3 times a year, but he'll cast that out of us that doesn't belong there, and then he will enlarge our borders. And then he goes on to say, neither shall any man desire thy land when you go up to appear before the Lord thy God 3 times in the year. He says that when you come to appear before him, the angel of the Lord will watch over your place and take care of it. You won't have to worry about somebody disturbing it and breaking into it. That the angel of the Lord will watch over it. But it is a commandment given that in 3 times in the year, all male men who are the priests of the house are to appear before the Lord. I try to remember to do that here. It is Passover. It's at the Feast of Pentecost. And then at Tabernacles. That's the 3 times a year that all males are required to appear before the Lord and come and appear before him. So tomorrow morning we'll take a time, and all the men, and you see there's no age limit here. This takes in every male, from the infant to the eldest. It isn't an age limit given. So tomorrow morning, all the males, we will appear before the Lord and ask the Lord and thank the Lord for his blessings upon us and for watching over us and taking care of us. And then again, we need to remember to do it again at Pentecost. And then again in the fall at the Feast of Tabernacles. Passover and Pentecost has been fulfilled. Feast of Tabernacles is still in the future. I'm trying to study and come to an understanding of it, because I believe that we still are required to keep in some fashion the Feast of Tabernacles. I know that there are groups around the country that are, and I'm trying to see, figure out what is right and way to do it in a way that is not, carried out on a deep limb or something. I'm not saying they do, but we need to examine that, because we are required to keep these three feasts. We're keeping one of them this weekend, and then Sunday that falls for the Feast of Pentecost, and then we could figure out, you could take and figure out if you did by the moon. These dates fall by the moon, not by the calendar. So once we keep them by the calendar, we really don't keep them according to the biblical order. But anyway, we need to observe and do that. Now, this afternoon we did something. Mac, I see you back there. Wished you'd have been here this afternoon, because we all went down there and dedicated that bridge that you guys finished this morning. You said you was doing it so we could dedicate it, so we did it. We did what you did for us to do, so we went and did it. We all went down and dedicated the bridge and set it back in place, and we believe it's going to stay there this time. They've done a good job of setting it in, and we believe it's going to stay there. Amen. We're going to probably have an unusual service tonight. We've already started with it. We're going to have it some more. We've had glorious, glorious meetings this weekend. And the glory of the Lord has been our portion, and I thank the Lord for it, and I appreciate it as we've gathered together to praise and worship Him.
Well, that's where the enemy attacks, is in our minds all the time. And we have to, if he shoots a thought into your head, you need to turn it at the gate right then and say, oh no, I won't accept that, and send it away in the name of Jesus. Don't entertain any thoughts that are unrighteous, any thoughts that about your healing or your deliverances that you've had this week, because he will try to come back. But just tell him, no, I'm not going to take you back anymore. I've had enough of you. And just receive now the scriptures this morning that he gave. You can receive any one of those, even though maybe they weren't for you. If you can receive them, Amy McPherson says, receive them. Any prophecy, any word of prophecy, it's yours too, because it's the Lord speaking. And we've had so many words of prophecy this week, and most of it has been in Scripture, hasn't it? And it was tremendous. Every service is... Now, this afternoon, Earlene gave the most profound teaching on shedding innocent blood and repenting. Repenting. Repentance. If we all repented more, there wouldn't have to be so many deliverance sessions. Because the blood of Jesus is washing away these old sins. He's cleaning, the Lord is cleaning our blood that has not been cleansed. We don't know how contaminated we are. All these ancestral things have come down in our bloodline, and we've just thought it was a way of life that we could just live. You know, this is the way we are. No, that's not the way we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be peaceful and happy and joyful Christians. So other Christians will want what we have. You know, sometimes they say, who needs that? If that's the way it is. But that isn't the way it's supposed to be. And Jesus is delivering his people out of the hands of the enemy. And the army of the Lord is standing up. They're coming to attention. They're ready to march. When he says, march, we're all going to march, aren't we? And he's choosing out a remnant. It's going to be those faithful ones. You know, he calls you. There's the chosen ones, but then it's the faithful that hold out, that are faithful in prayer, in praise, and in worship, and reading the Word, and all these things. Faithful to do whatever their hands find to do. Do it with all your might, the Bible says. Now, we appreciate everybody that's helped us, because, you see, we don't keep enough people hired to handle all of this, you know, ordinarily. So all the people that's helped cook, helped with the tables, helped with the dishes, I just appreciate it so much. And the Lord will bless you. The Lord called Glenn and I the ministry of helps. That's what our ministry is, helping people. And Whatever your hands find to do to help, do it wholeheartedly with all your might, and the Lord's going to bless you. Do you believe that? Yes, he's going to bless you, and we bless you, and we'll pray for you. Now, Glenn gave me these. How many do not get our magazine, and you haven't turned your name in the last few days? Everybody get the magazine? No, there's somebody back there. We do appreciate all the musicians. We appreciate the presence of God, most of all. The anointing. Do you feel that anointing stirring within you? Isn't that a beautiful feeling? I appreciate the angels of the Lord all around here.
Amen.
They're walking up and down these aisles ministering to you. You may not realize it, but they are. And God is changing all of us. How many have been delivered during this session, the last few days? Look at that. Look at that. And you know, all these ones that we have bound, they're going to eventually begin leaving you. And next year, but now you won't even know yourself. You'll be so changed. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
What does it say? It says, I will renew your youth as the eagle. I claim that.
Amen.
Amen.
Just because he's 70 years old, he doesn't have to act like an old man.
I'm not. Moses never even started till he was 80.
That's right.
So I got 10 years to go before we start.
What do we have ahead of us? We don't even know what the Lord's going to do.
That's right.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. I sure do appreciate that teaching that we had this afternoon. It was long overdue. Long overdue. That was wonderful, Arlene. It really was. And that's going to change thousands of people's lives, that teaching will. As that tape goes around the world and as we put it in the magazine and it's people read it in the magazine, that will change families and families and families around the world for the kingdom. Amen. See, our blood needs cleansing. We're a mixture, and the mixture has to get cleansed. And only the Lord can do it as we come and present ourselves unto him. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. This evening, we are going to attempt, with the help of the Lord, to minister to maybe everybody here, I hope. But there have been requests, and rightfully so, to have the impartation of the spirit of the discernment to people. Some scriptures, but there's one over in Timothy where Paul said that the gift that was imparted unto Timothy through his grandmother and his mother, for him not to forsake the use of that gift. But we're living in a day when discernment is almost a necessity, so that we can discern not only good and evil, but discern false and true. And today there is a lot of things that's moving through the body of Christ that appear to be so good and they sound so nice, but when we get to the basis of them, they're not of God. And we need to have discernment so that we can know these things and not be taken in by something that seems so nice and pretty, but yet on the other hand, it will lead your damn your soul to hell. And then we need discernment so that we can pray for those that come to us for help. And every one of us should be a vessel that's ready to be a filling station for somebody else. That's the purpose. You see, a lot of you come here because you want help for yourself. That's very good. We all need help for ourselves. I need help, and all the rest of us, we need help in some area. That's fine. But the basic purpose when we get through is that we may be a blessing to somebody else. That's really the bottom line. That what the Lord blesses me and delivers me of and helps me with, then I am to be a vessel that turns around and imparts that to somebody else. Somebody else comes with a heartache and a need and a broken family and some kind of mental problem or physical ailment, that we should be able, in the name of the Lord Jesus, to lay hands and impart that which the Lord has given unto us. Now, I know that everybody doesn't have the same impartation. I understand and I know that. But let's step out and do it anyway, you know. You know, somebody comes and asks for prayer. I don't say, well, I don't know how to pray for you. I don't know what to pray. Just start and pray. Just pray. And then the Lord will take over. You see, you put your foot... Peter had to get out and step on the water before he could even walk on it to find out if it was going to hold him. He kind of got a little wobbly before he got through, but at least he started. So we need to start. You need to start. Somebody in your neighborhood, some friend or something comes to you with a problem, don't be backward and don't be bashful. Say, let's pray. Don't be obnoxious. At work, you're paid to work, as Dick told you. You're paid to work. Or as the doctor told the men here today at noon. You're on the job, you're paid to work. You're not paid to open your Bible and take somebody else's time. You do that before work or on break or after work. You're to be a good steward of the time that you're paid for. But you're also to be a testimony. You're to be a testimony of Jesus in your life. And I don't mind. I go uptown up here to the bank and to the parts houses and all. By decree of being here, I'm called a preacher, I guess. That's what others call me. I don't tack that name on myself. But I walk into the parts house and all, and they say, hello, Reverend. Well, whoever told them that? I never. You know why? Because when I go into the bank or something and we do something and something's worked out or there's something talked about, I say, well, the Lord did this. And I say, I thank the Lord for doing that. And in the parts house, the fellows all in the parts house know, something comes up, I say, praise the Lord. And I say it, and I mean it, and I don't say it to be a show-off. I don't say it I say it because my heart means it. And they know where I stand and without having to be obnoxious and say, here comes that loudmouth preacher. See, that's an abomination. So God give us wisdom that a light shall shine, that it will be a vessel that's set on a hill that cannot be hid, because Jesus shines forth through you and me. That's what we're here for. That's what we're to be. We're to be a light that can't be hid. But the light is to shine. Rather, you don't have to say a word. Just let the light shine. And as it shines, it'll draw men and women and boys and girls to the foot of Calvary to find Jesus. He'll become Lord of their lives. And as he does, it'll change not only them, but it'll change the community. It'll change all about us as we declare that Jesus Christ is the Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, first this evening, Doc's going to come and give us a little dissertation. And then all who would like to have hands laid on them for imparting of the gifts, especially discernment, we will let you walk by us here, Irma and I and Doc and Linda, and we'll just lay hands on you and let you go back to your seat. And then we will continue with the rest of the service this evening, which I'll tell you about when we get to it. This is Dr. Bill Noe from Salina, Kansas. He's a pediatrician. In his spare time and he's full time, he works for the Lord.
Praise God. I want you to all turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And let's talk a little bit about spiritual gifts. We're going to talk about the gifts of the Spirit. And verse 4 says, the diversities of gifts, that means there are many kinds, by the same Spirit. The different ministries in the same Lord. But they are diversities of activities and the same Lord who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. And what's that word manifestation? That means that's something you can see, something you can taste, something that you can feel, hear, or see. It is a manifestation. Something that's visible, that's given to witness that the Spirit is moving. It is not a natural gift. Lots of people teach the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge as being natural gifts. I mean, you have an high IQ, so you have the gift of knowledge. That's not what this is all about. We're talking about supernatural manifestations. The Spirit will manifest Himself supernaturally. so that you will know it is the Spirit. Now, that's the first thing. Now, the gifts are roughly divided into three groups. And we're not going to try to cover all the gifts, but I thought I would talk a little bit about the gifts, because there's some people who are ignorant. And Paul says, I wouldn't have you ignorant. It's never been taught. And I've seen these things taught so erroneously that before we talk about imparting spiritual gifts, I want to talk about what spiritual gifts are. They're divided into three different groups. The power gifts, the gifts of the vocal gifts, and the gifts of revelation. Now, what we're going to, and all of these gifts are resident in all the believers. If you have been filled with the Holy Ghost, you've got these gifts resident in you. They're there. And if you find yourself in a situation that God has called you to and anointed you to minister in, then that gift will come forth. Long before I ever came down here, I always believed that God would... I had gotten saved, I'd gotten filled with the Holy Ghost, and I believed that God healed. But I believed that God would never violate His spiritual laws. I just didn't believe God would violate the natural laws that had been set up to govern the universe, like the laws of gravity and the laws of the speed of light and the laws of regeneration of cells. I just didn't think God would do that. I thought He would heal people, but He healed them by natural means. He does that. But He also heals them supernaturally. And one night, my wife told me that I had the gift of healing, and I told her I just poo-pooed. I said, oh, no. And I was listening to Derek Prince's tapes on these things, and I was, one of my friends, a physician, became sick. And I found out that he had had encephalitis, and that he'd become unmanageable. He had become irritable and unmanageable. His wife had called three or four adult male friends to come over because Dave had suddenly become very aggressive and unreasonable and was not himself. And they came and they bodily carried him to the hospital and they did a spinal tap on him and they found he had encephalitis and they restrained him in the hospital and he became sicker and he went into coma and there was no medication for him. And he'd been in coma for about 4 days when someone told me. And I felt very badly about it. And I went home that night, and I was around 11 o'clock at night, and I was sitting in, and I knew that I had to go pray for Dave. Now, I had never done that before, but God sovereignly impressed on my spirit. He did not speak to me in an audible voice, but He sovereignly impressed it on my spirit that I should go pray for this man, to lay hands on him. So I got up to get ready to leave, and my wife didn't like to be alone at night, and she became very upset that I was leaving. And she did not want me to leave, and I said I was going to leave, and she said no, and we had some rather sharp words, and I left grinding the gears and spitting this gravel out behind my car in a very good mood, you understand, to go pray for someone. Really filled with love and charity in my heart. And so I arrived at the hospital, and I went into the room, and Dave was there with his wife. And being a very bold Christian, I went over to him and pretended I was taking his pulse. And laid my hand on him, and I said, God heal Dave. Under my breath, you understand. And that's all I could muster. I couldn't embarrass myself by going in there like some nut and saying, God heal Dave, you know, and so I couldn't do that. I left. I told Kathy, I think he's going to be all right, Kathy, and I left. The next morning I got up, and I was in the Episcopalian then, and I went down to early communion at 7:30, and at 8 o'clock I went by, and Dave was sitting up eating breakfast. And I said, what happened to Dave? And she said, about a half hour after you left, he woke up. And Dr. Jenkins says, a miracle. He can't find anything wrong with him. He don't send him home. And I said, I cannot believe that my coming by and saying, God heal Dave, had anything to do with this. And I refused to believe it. I refused. I just said, I just don't believe that. Well, God is faithful, you know, and when he wants to get your attention. And about a week later, they called me from the emergency room. And they said, Dr. Null, you've got a child who's been hit by a car. And I said, well, you know, we get kids that get bumped all the time. And I said, well, go ahead and x-ray whatever got hit, and I'll be down. She said, you better come now. I said,
bad?
She said, well, a car hit her, the bumper hit her head and knocked her 50 feet across the street. And she's got a flaccid paralysis on one side. That means she don't move at all. And the other side, she only responds to very deep pain. And the whole side of her head is caved in. And Dr. Nichols is starting an IV for you. I said, good. X-ray her head and her neck, and I'm on my way. But when I got there, they had already x-rayed her head, and she had a fracture that started here at her forehead and went all the way around to there, and you could stick your hand through it. I mean, it was separated about this far. I looked at that first in the neck, then I went and looked at the patient, and she had, and this whole, this side, the whole right side of her face was caved in. You couldn't see the eye. You couldn't make out the ear. It was just broken flesh and blood and hair all in it, you know. This eye was fixed and dilated, and she didn't receive. She wiggled a little bit when you pinched her real hard. She just sort of moved her toe just enough to let you know she was still alive. So I went out to see these people, and I said, you people got a pastor? And they said, yes. I said, you better call him because ain't nothing medicine can do for her. And so I went and called the neurosurgeon in Wichita. I live in Salina, and Wichita is 100 miles away. And I said, get the ambulance. And we didn't have the helicopters in. Get the ambulance and some special duty nurses, and we're shipping her out. Nothing we can do here. And we're getting a stable, you know. And I said, go ahead and get everything ready. And they said, Dr. Noah, she ain't breathing no more. So I told the parents, I said, come on, we better go pray for her now. We can't wait for the pastor. And so I went in, and I didn't know what to do. And the heart on the monitor said, the readout said 35. Now that, in case you're interested, just so it stops. When a baby's heart gets down to 35, you're right for cardiac arrest. Wasn't breathing, pulse of 35, dead, caved in head. And so I just put my hands on her head and started praying in tongues. Now, these people were Nazarene, and I thought the Nazarenes were a Pentecostal bunch, you understand? That's how much I knew. And so I put my hands on her head, and I started praying in tongues, and they said, she's moving again, Dr. Nami. She's breathing again. And I looked up, and the pulse had jumped up to 125. I got right bold, Lynn. I got to praying real hard. And Jesus Christ sort of rolled into that room. And the next thing I remembered was, according to the nurse's notes, this is all documented in case you're interested on the emergency room record, 15 minutes later, I noticed out of the corner of my eye that her legs were moving down. And she was so, we were having trouble. I had my hands on her head and just praying away. And I noticed that she was sort of wiggling around on the table. And I turned and looked, and she was moving both arms and both legs. She was trying to get up. And I got my hand, her head in a vice, you know, and I'm just praying. And her parents are just standing over there with their mouths open and their eyes wide. And I took my hand off of the left side of her face, and that pupil had been dilated and fixed, had shrunk down. That eye was moving like this. And I took my hand off the right side of her face, and glory to God, there were two little blood clots. Right? I mean, God had restored all of this. And the ambulance arrived, you know, and said, what you want to do? And I said, well, have you documented all of this on the nurse's notes? And she said, well, not all of it. I said, you write it all down. I want a legal record of this. You write it all down. They wrote it down. And then I said, sign your name to it. And she was a spirit-filled nurse, so I did. We shipped the baby out of sheer lack of intestinal fortitude, you know. I sent her to Wichita. And about 3 hours later, the neurosurgeon called me. And he said, Bill, are you sure you sent me the right patient and the right x-rays and the right record? I said, yeah. He said, what'd y'all do to her? I said, we prayed for her. I said, it's written, it's all in the record. He said, yeah, I read this thing. He said, I respect for you. I put her out. He said, I put her out in the intensive care unit, but I need the bed. So I put her out. She's not sitting out on pediatrics eating supper. And I'm going to send her home tomorrow because there ain't nothing wrong with her. Needless to say, this instant, I've never had anything happen like that again, you understand? This instance changed my theology slightly. I decided that my God could do anything. I mean, he can change anything. He is not bound by any natural law. He made the laws. He can change them. He can suspend them. He can do anything he wants to with them. And so I just say, thank you, Lord God. Praise your name, Lord. And so I came to understand that these gifts were supernatural. They are unexplainable by natural standards. And I believe in supernatural miracles. And I have since then, I have seen the blind to see and the deaf to hear and the lame to walk and the dead raised by prayer. And so, let's look at this now. And so these manifestations, now I tell you, that manifestation, I tell you, it changed things. It changed things in that emergency room by praying for people. Now, folks don't laugh at Oral Roberts anymore. They don't believe. I mean, those people, I mean, everybody heard about it. I mean, everybody heard about it. I get patients to, I still pray for everybody who comes in my office. I try to do it very quietly and sort of, you know, I just pick the kids up and hold them and thank God for them and pray for them. And I remember one day I was in a hurry and I forgot to. And I got to leave as much as you can leave here. And I mean, I didn't know she was Christian, you know. I don't know anything about it. She didn't impress me as being a Christian. I mean, she was a baby. Well, she wasn't leading a Christian life. And the baby was a little illegitimate. And she was living with her boyfriend. But she said, you can't leave it. I said, what's wrong? She said, you got to pray for my child first. She said, that's the reason I come to you, because you pray for your children. She said, I don't lead a good life. I know that. But I still won't come to you because you're a Christian person and you pray for my child. And I said, you want me to pray for you? Do you want to change? She said, and you know, she got right scared then. And she said, well, just pray for the baby. Praise God. To one is given the word of wisdom. Now, the word of wisdom, you know, when we're praying deliverance, I want to differentiate for you between the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discernment of spirits. Because these are the revelation gifts. They're revelations from God. And they all sort of run together and they overlap. Now, most of the time when I'm ministering deliverance, I minister by word of knowledge. Now, when you see someone who is manifesting, and you don't have time to take a history from them, and this thing is manifesting, you are out on naked faith for the Lord to provide the knowledge needed. Now, he's told me that when I minister, he would provide for me. I don't have to be afraid to go into a deliverance situation because I know he will tell me what I need to know. Now, that is the word of knowledge. Now, knowledge speaks of facts. And when he tells me that this is an incest spirit, that's a knowledge. Or that this man or this person has unforgiveness. And this is blocking their deliverance. This demon is manifesting, but he doesn't have to come out because they have unforgiveness in their heart. Therefore, they're still in their sin and the curse is still there. And this thing has a legal right to remain there. But God says it got unforgiveness. That's the word of knowledge. Now, what do you do with that? God says you do this. And word of wisdom is to know what to do with the word of knowledge. And those are both given to you on a supernatural, and the voice of God, of the Holy Spirit, is very gentle, very gentle, and very quiet. And you have to be very attentive. He wants your attention. He wants your attention. And as you minister, it becomes easier. I remember that it was, when I was first starting out, I used to get these, and I really didn't know what to do with them, you know. I was sort of chicken, you know. I guess that's the word for it. But
as you minister, your faith builds. And you have to step out sometimes in faith. And if you're afraid that you're going to make a mistake, if you get scared that you're going to make a mistake, you won't ever minister. You will not minister. Because I have been ministering deliverance now for 9 years on a regular basis. And I still make mistakes sometimes with words of knowledge. Sometimes I get the impression it's not right. And somebody said, well, it's not right. And they say, that's not right. That does not intimidate me. I just pass that one off and keep on praying and saying, God, I'm him where you put me. I am dependent upon you. I cannot do this in my own flesh. I can't work it up in my own flesh. Not ministering like you have me minister. I have to have the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom. Now, the discernment of spirits is different. When you discern something, it's something that it's visible to your senses. You see it. You smell it. You feel it. Or you hear it. But it's something you see. Now, I have seen demons. They look like snakes crawling out of people's noses, out of their ears, wrapped around their legs, their arms. God has let me see through to see their backbone and see snakes wrapped around it. I'm giving you I don't do that every day. God doesn't open my eyes like that. Now, when I first received the gift of discernment of spirits, I'll have to be honest with you, I did not wish to be in the deliverance ministry. They told me that God had called me for deliverance ministry. And I just said, you know, folks that do that, folks think they're nuts. You know, they have cute little names for them like demon chasers and nuts and, you know, all sorts of nice little things. And I just, you know, my pride, I was a physician, you know. I was a respected member of the community. I was on all these boards and I just had all this self-respect and all this pride and I wasn't going to do that. I was in a line in this camp right over there by that pine. And Glenn and another minister, whose name I cannot pronounce, from Minnesota. He was an implement dealer from Minnesota. Laid hands on me. And Glenn prophesied over me and told me that I would have a thirst for the Word. And when I got home, I read the Bible 5 times that month. I mean, I sat up day and night reading the Bible. I mean, it was a supernatural thirst for the Bible. But I had more than that. On my way home, like somebody hit the switch, all of a sudden, everywhere I looked, I saw demons. I saw demons behind the bushes. There's a lot of demons out there, bro. I tell you, some folks say, you know, that he sees demons behind every bush. Man, I saw 2 or 3 behind every bush. And I saw demons sitting on people's heads, and I saw demons walking behind people, and I saw demons hanging on to folks, all kind of screwy-looking things, you know, and some of them didn't look very nice. And this went on for a month and a half. And I kept saying, I am not going to be a deliverance preacher. So I thought after about a month I was going crazy. I really thought I was going insane. I got down on my knees before God, went to a prayer meeting, and I got down on my knees before God on my face, and I said, God, I surrender to you. What does all this mean, Lord? And I said, Lord, am I going crazy? What does all this mean? And the prayer group leader, a school teacher named Kirk Pope, began to prophesy. And he said, he stood up and he said, I have given you a gift and I have put a call on your life. I expect you to answer the call and use the gift. And he says, does that mean anything to anybody? I said, yeah, that means something. That's when I got on my face and I said, God, I'll do what you want me to. I'll go where you want me to. I'll do what you want me to. I don't care what the cost is. If I lose my practice, everything I own, I don't care. And I surrendered that day. I died. I wasn't the same person when I got back up off the floor. And God took me at my word.
He opened up a deliverance ministry, and he brought in people every night for the next 2 years. Every night, or almost every night, it seemed like, we were ministering deliverance, and I could sit here and talk about it all day long. And things changed in my life. I changed. Glenn and Irma gave me a tremendous amount of support and help. They allowed me to come down here and to learn. And then as suddenly as it started, God called me to intercession. He called me and he spoke to me sovereignly and said, I am now calling you to intercession, and I want you to be in this church, in this prayer room, every day at noon, except those days that you have a meeting that if you do not attend, you'll be kicked off the hospital staff. That's what he said to me. And I'm going to tell you something. When I'm in town, if I'm not down here or visiting my family, I'm in that prayer room. And that was 7.5 years ago. Since then, he's given me other things to do. But, you know, the deliverance ministry just dried up just like that. I mean, nobody else came in. That was it. I didn't go out on the street and look for them, I'll tell you. You don't go out and look for folks that want deliverance. God will send them to you if he has anointed you in this ministry. Ask Gene. Gene will tell you they beat your door down. And he called me to intercession. There's been another story. So, I didn't really mean to get into all of this, but what I did want to talk to you about, I was trying to illustrate to you what the gift of discernment of spirits is. When you have the gift of discernment of spirits, you sometimes will see something. Lots of times you will just look at a person and you see something in their eyes, and God will tell you what it is. Or you will see the face looks different suddenly. Or you will see a gloom hanging over them. Or they just look different. Lots of times you will see the demon itself. Lots of times you'll see the demon staring out of their eyes. You see it. Lots of times you will smell it. Witchcraft has a really peculiar smell. And I smell witchcraft. I smell witchcraft. Sometimes I feel incest. I mean, it makes my skin crawl when I get around an incest demon. I know what I'm around incest. And these things I know because God has revealed it to me through 9 years of ministry. Glenn can tell similar stories. But today we're going to talk about, and you say, well, you said, can gifts be imparted just by laying on of hands? You said we have all the gifts. It sure was for me. And according to the Bible. Now let's look in the New Testament here. Well, let's look at the Old Testament first. Let's look back at Numbers 11. Now Moses felt that he was really being put upon. He had all these people, and he was complaining to God. And he says on verse 11:11, people were complaining about the food. And Moses said to God, he says, why have you afflicted your servant? And why have I not found favor in your sight, and you've laid the burden of all these people on me? Did I conceive all these people? Did I begot them? That you should say to me, carry them in your bosom as a guardian carries a nursing child to the land which you swore to give to their fathers? Where am I to get meat to give all these people? For they weep all over me, saying, give us meat that we might eat. I'm not able to bear all these people alone because the burden is too heavy for me. If you treat me like this, please just kill me here and now. If I find favor in your sight, do not let me see my righteousness. So the Lord said to Moses, gather to me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them to the tabernacle of the meeting, that they may stand with you, that I may come down and talk with you there, and take of the Spirit that is upon you, and give the same to them, and they will bear the burden. Okay. Let's come on over to 34:9. And it says here, now Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. And it was scripture I was looking for and a few chapters back in which he said, take Moses and lay your hands on him and I will impart to him the spirit that's in you. Here it says, Joshua was full of the spirit because Moses had laid hands on him. Now let's look over in Timothy 4:14. 1 Timothy 4:14. Here Paul is writing to a young pastor. He's in jail, and he's writing to a young associate pastor who's having a hard time. And he's talked to him about a number of things. And he says here in verse 14 of chapter 4, do not neglect the spirit that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the elders or the presbytery. And so you see, there was a gift imparted to Timothy by prophecy through the laying on the hand of the elders. And that is a scripture. Now let's look at Acts 13. You're all familiar with this. It says, now in the church that was in Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrenia, Manicin, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted, and the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I had called them. Now you will remember that Paul, in his testimony to King Festus, said that when he was in the temple in Jerusalem, that Jesus appeared to him and said, they won't believe you here in... they won't believe you here in Jerusalem. I'm going to send you far away to the Gentiles to be my apostle. And he said to him the first time, he said, you shall be my chosen one to bring in the Gentiles. So Jesus had told him twice. So Paul already knew. You see, it had been revealed to Paul, and now here it is confirmed through the brethren by prophecy. It's been confirmed here. And they, having fasted and prayed, laid hands on them and sent them away. And so here we see that there is a precedent for Paul in the sending out of apostles, those people who've been called by God, for the laying on the hands of the presbytery, for the impartation of God's favor, God's grace, and God's gifts. Remember that the Holy Spirit's called the Spirit of Grace. And these are all grace gifts. Grace gifts means they're gifts. They're undeserved gifts. They're free gifts given by God. Free, undeserved gifts given to the undeserving. You know, we're all undeserving, except by God's grace. We're all deserving of death. Because if we want to get our wages, the wages of sin is death. I don't want my wages. I want grace. Praise God. And so today, what we're going to do is we're going to pray for you, and we're going to sovereignly stand here on the Word of God and lay hands on you and impart to you the Spirit of grace, the Holy Spirit, and the gifts of the Spirit, and stir up those gifts that God has given you. You all have a gift. And we'll ask God to give you the discernment of spirits, the word of wisdom and knowledge.
Okay, those of you that want us to lay hands on you and pray for you, start getting up and form a line right here. Come on, Linda and Irma, Jean, Erlene. Looks like we almost got the whole house full here. Okay. You see? It doesn't have to be a long thing, unless the Lord moves sovereignly for some reason. We'll just lay hands on you and pray for you, and the Lord will do the rest. It's not what we do, it's what God does.
Each one of us to lay hands on.
Lord, we lay hands on you. We loose a double portion of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. Stir up the gifts of any Lord. Stir up the gift that he's earned for us. Move it before him, Lord, that you be glorified. Thank the Lord for all that you're doing through. Lord, we loose him to a double portion of your ministry. In Jesus' name. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you. Praise you. Glory to God. Lord, we loose the gifts of the Holy Ghost in us. We stir them up in her in Jesus' name. We loose the gift of discerning of spirits. We loose it to the city of ministry in the Lord in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise you. Well, Lord, we bless our brother. Lord, we lay hands on him. We loose the gifts of the Spirit within him. We thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost to flow and move through him. We loose discernment and wisdom and knowledge unto him, Lord. And we loose the knowledge of the Lord to come forth as a fountain and a river, Lord. To flow forth, Lord, for your glory. We stir it up with him in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Father, we lay hands on our sister. And in the name of Jesus, we impart the gifts of the Holy Ghost. And we loose her, Lord, to the spirits of understanding and wisdom and knowledge and discernment. We loose them upon her, Lord, that you be glorified through her. And her testimony cannot be gainsaid. And we praise you for it, Father. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. There we loose our brother. We loose the gifts of the Holy Ghost within him. We stir up the gifts of the Holy Ghost anymore. We loose him, Lord. Lord, we loose the spirits of wisdom and knowledge and discernment, Lord. We loose him to the kingdom, Lord, for the glory of the kingdom. He shall be a glory unto thee, Lord. You shall use him for your glory. We thank you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus.
The team continued for well over an hour, praying for all who came forward for the gifts, impartation of the gifts of the Spirit. And then we continued the service with teaching and praying for physical healing.
We're reading Isaiah chapter 52, verse 14. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The king shall shut their mouth at him, for that which he hath not been told them shall they see, and that which they have not heard shall they consider. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. When we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Jesus knows all of our sorrows and all of our griefs. He's with us in the midst of it. If we can receive that and accept that, he's there with us. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs, our sickness, carried our sorrows, our pain. Yet we did not esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities and lawlessness. And the chastisement of my peace was upon him, and with his stripes I am healed. And all we like sheep have gone astray, and we've turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Verse 11 says, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. And by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. And he shall bear their iniquities or lawlessness. Bear my iniquities and my lawlessness. Therefore, the Lord says, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bare, Jesus, the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressors, of which I was one. Praise you, Jesus. Keep your finger there, or it doesn't matter. But in the book of James, and in the 5th chapter, verse 13 says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that you may be healed. And the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray. Back to Isaiah 53. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities and lawlessness. The chastisement of my peace was laid upon him, and with his stripes I am healed. Now, previously I was going to have Doc and Linda and Gene help me. We were going to anoint everybody with oil that needed prayer. We're not going to do that. But I want everybody who needs prayer in the physical body, I want you to stand up. If something wrong, stand up. Don't sit down. Maybe we prayed for you, up some of you up here while you were in line. Stand back up. Stand up. I'm going to take authority and dominion over the spirits of infirmity, inherited or otherwise. And by the scars and stripes of the whipping post, we're going to bind and break the assignment of Satan. Jesus said in my name, Mark 16, that he gives us authority to loose the captive. If we have infirmities in our bodies, we're a captive. And he said, in my name we have authority to loose the captives. Father, I come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that name that's above every name, to which every knee shall bow, and my tongue and our tongues do confess that you are Lord. And in your word it is written that we have authority over Satan. And in your word it is written that by the scars and stripes of the whipping post that you bore our infirmities, and our healing is in was provided for us at the whipping post. And now, Father, I come against the infirmities and the sicknesses in these bodies and in every physical body that is inflicted tonight. I take dominion over you by the authority of the word of the living God, and I break your authority over these bodies in Jesus' name, and I bind you, Satan. I command you to come out. I loose the spirits of infirmity. I come against the ancestral heritage that's come down the family lines in some of these cases, and I break the curse of it, and I put the blood of the Lord Jesus to cleanse and to separate. Satan, it is written in Galatians 3:13 that Jesus became a curse so we don't have to bear the curse, and I take authority and dominion, and I break the curse off of us in Jesus' name. And then by the scars and stripes of the whipping post, I speak healing to the physical body here tonight. Every physical body that needs healing, I speak healing to it in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I command you to you body in the name of the Lord to receive the healing virtue of the Lord Jesus. Body, I command you to receive the healing virtue of the scars and stripes of the Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, be healed. Demons, I bind your assignment and break your assignment. I speak life and health to you in Jesus' name. Spirits of death, I rebuke you and break your assignment. I speak life into these physical bodies in the name of the Lord Jesus. Spirits of pain, I rebuke you. Spirits of pain, I curse you. Loose these bodies and come out in the name of the Lord Jesus. I speak life and health into these physical bodies in Jesus' name. I rebuke you, Satan. I take your rights away. And we stand in the authority of the word of the living God. It is written that by the scars and stripes and the authority of the name of Jesus, we have dominion over you. And I take that place of a dominion tonight. And I speak healing and restoration to every physical body here in the name of Jesus. I bind every spirit of pain. I curse it. Now, bodies, I command you to begin to restore yourself in Jesus' name. I command restoration into you, into these physical bodies in the name of the Lord Jesus. I thank you for it, Father. I praise you for it. For Satan, it is written that we have authority in Jesus' name. And Satan, we've taken that authority tonight. And in the name of Jesus, we will be strong and well in Jesus' name. Father, I praise you. Lord, we praise you. We praise you for your presence. We praise you for your anointing. We praise you for your word. We thank you for the blood. We thank you for Calvary. I thank you for the whipping post. And I thank you for the resurrection. Glory to God. I thank you for it. Jesus, I thank you for your love and your compassion for us. I praise you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise it. Praise be the name of the Lord. Father, I thank you for the joy of the Lord. I thank you for the glory of the Lord. I thank you for the Shekinah glory of the Holy Ghost that's been in this place and is in this place. Father, I thank you that the glory of the Lord shall go with everyone that's been here. They shall carry it back home, and they shall be a joy and a glory to wherever they go. They shall carry it to their church. They shall take it to their pastor. And if the pastors are here, they'll take it to their church. Father, I praise you and I thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What are we going to sing? Glory, glory. Somebody touch me. Okay. We'll do that one. Let's see. F. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever. He sought me and He bought me. His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Hallelujah.
glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Glory. Praise you, Lord. Father, I thank you for the finances that you've given into our hands tonight from these thy people. Father, I bring it as a gift, as a sweet savor unto Jesus, our high priest, to be given and presented upon the altar before the throne for you to receive. And Father, I thank you as you receive it. And as I take it back and I become the steward and the priest over these finances, I take authority and dominion over them in the name of the Lord Jesus, and I bind them to the kingdom of the living God, that they shall be used for nothing but the necessities of life and in the furtherance of the gospel of the Lord Jesus, as long as this type of finances is used. Father, I bind these finances to the kingdom. I bind them to the kingdom. I bind them to the kingdom, that they shall multiply again and again and again and again and again and again for the kingdom's sake. That you shall be glorified through them, Father, and that they shall not fall anywhere and be wasted, but they shall be gathered up and multiplied for the kingdom of the living God. Then, Father, I pray Abraham's blessings upon these thy people who have given for the work here at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. And I bless them for it, Father. And I thank you, Father, that you meet our needs, and you have, and you are, and you will continue to meet our needs. And I praise you, and I thank you for it. And then, Father, I bless those that these people also bless in other areas of the earth. I bless the endeavors in other areas, Lord. Not just here, but I bless wherever the name of the Lord Jesus is lifted up and declared as King of Kings. Father, that your kingdom shall multiply there as well as here. And that the glory of the Lord shall go forth, and men shall know that God rules and reigns, because he reigns in the hearts and lives of his people. Father, I thank you for the privilege we have of declaring here today that Jesus Christ is Lord, not only of this place, but of our lives, and that we are a temple of the living God. And that, Father, we're desiring to be without spot and wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb, made white as snow, walking before thee in robes of white, a temple of holiness unto thee. Father, help us that that desire may flow and move in our very being, and that shall be the desire of our heart, to walk before you in righteousness, in holiness, to be holy before thee as thou also art holy, that we may be a glory unto thy name. And I praise you and I thank you for it now, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise you, Jesus.
How many can say the Lord's been working on you this weekend? Well, you know, we could call this camp meeting, you know, a little time in the carpenter shop. The Lord gave me a song quite a few years ago now called the Carpenter Shop Song, and I'd like to sing it for you tonight. Amen. The Spirit said in the quiet place, go back to the carpenter shop. When I asked why, he said it again. Just go back to the carpenter's shop. Oh, not knowing what to expect, but believing that he knew the best, I went back to the carpenter's shop, and day by day, he whittled away. In the closet of the carpenter's shop, he showed me the depths of my heart, when all along I thought I was fine. By his hand he began to refine. So the splinters and ridges and knots, he sanded and pounded and flamed. I cried and I tried to give up, and day by day he whittled away. He worked with care in the carpenter's shop, rebuilding me so patiently. His hand was skillful and sure, forming a son strong and mature. Though the process was painfully slow, my heart could rejoice in his love, for I knew that his work he complete. And day by day, he whittled away. So
when you hear the Spirit saying to you, go back to the carpenter's shop. Never doubt His purpose for you, as day by day He whittles away. As day by day He whittles away, whittles away, whittles away. Amen. Hallelujah.
Blessing and honor and glory be thine.
Praise Him and praise Him both now. nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Not by might, nor by power,
but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. This one angel may be moved,
amen.
This mountain shall be removed. This mountain shall be removed
by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Sing it again.
It's not by might. It's not by power. It's not by power, it's not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord.
His mountain shall be removed, his mountain shall be removed,
his mountain shall be removed,
by my Spirit,
saith the Lord.
Praise the Lord, well we bring sacrifice of praise
to the house of the Lord.
We
bring sacrifice of praise unto the house of the Lord. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of joy.
And we bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord.
We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer up to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. Let's lift our hands and praise Him tonight. Hallelujah! Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name. Hallelujah!
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.